Is there an Orwellian trinity completely bent on putting to rest once and for all freedom of speech while at the same time suppressing all forms of truth and individuals' access to it? Is this connected to why the Essenes of the Dead Sea Scrolls fame pointed to 2025 as the final age of man? Today we will continue our special investigation into the new book, Zeitgeist 2025. Welcome to Skywatch Television. I'm Joe Horn, and we are joined once again this week in studio by the Skywatch investigative team. Last week, if you missed it, make sure you go back to the archives and check it out. We started a new investigative series into Tom Horn's new book, Zeitgeist 2025, and we had a bit of discussion with some of the contributing authors, Donna Howell, and at the very end, Ali Henson, where we had just started to scratch the surface in how big tech oligarchies are helping this cabal machine push all of us as American citizens and the rest of the world is what I described last week as a system resembling very much the Book of Revelation, Mark of the Beast system. This is our big tech. Mm-hmm. This is our global banking systems, people pushing for cashless society. You're seeing now in grocery stores, people can't even get into shop in certain states without running their hand under a scanner to take their temperature. We're all being, in my view, groomed and positioned. Yep. None of this is random. Ali, let's start this week with you.
Okay.
Where we left off last week, please describe to me in the book Zeitgeist 2025, you talk about big tech oligarchy. Can you tell us about the Orwellian Trinity?
Yes, I can. Actually, I was writing and doing some research for Tom about big tech and big media and how this was all playing together. And I understood that it was going toward a cashless society. And then I was having a conversation with Sharon Gilbert, and she really opened my eyes to exactly what's happening with fintech.
Mm-hmm.
So what we have is this Orwellian trinity, really, which is big media, big tech, and fintech. So fintech is the biggest financial institutions that are digital and online. They are driving us toward a cashless one world currency, really. And we have big media, which writes the narrative, and big tech, which drives it to us.
Right.
And none of these can really fully operate without the other. But together, they are taking over the world. I mentioned the media consolidation last week. And what we see is that through big media, like I said, 90% of all the media that you see is coming from six core sources.
Yeah.
Well, these guys are writing the narrative. They put it out in a headline. They put it out. They romanticize it through all of their entertainment means that they have. They inundate. Yes, exactly. They are accomplishing something on our society where they are homogenizing our population's worldview. Basically, like I said last time, George Orwell's groupthink. It's happening.
Mm-hmm. Right.
What they are doing is this is a civil oligarchy. See, people get hung up on the word oligarchy because they think warfare, violence, and they go, well, hold on a minute. We're still in a democracy. I can vote however I want.
Right.
There's no tyrant coming around telling me who runs the government now. You have to understand that in a civil oligarchy, this is made up of seemingly law-abiding citizens who fly under the radar of the actual government, but who rule by their influential sway that they get from their disproportionate accumulation of wealth to the general population.
Yeah.
So what we have is a key handful of people that have all of the power, all of the money, all of the means. And by the way, I'm not just talking about they have the means to cut off your entertainment or they have the means to cut off your access to the news.
Right.
They have the means to cut off your online purchases. Do you buy your contacts online for your eyes? Do you buy your medication online?
Right.
If they shut this down, the whole world shuts down. Society shuts down.
Right.
What we saw for COVID was a teaser.
Right.
Dress rehearsal.
Exactly.
Right.
Exactly. And so what they get is they reward the population for embracing this groupthink. And a lot of it is reinforced through social media likes.
Yeah.
Like I said last time, things being pulled down because they're not factual, when really what it is they're not popular.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah,
well,
exactly.
if you're not part of the club, you get deplatformed, you get shadow banned. They're controlling speech in the way that Orwell described and that Ali is also describing.
Is it a stupid question then at this point to think, hey, I'll just opt out. I'll just ignore all the fake news. Look, I'm awake. I see the truth. I don't need to participate in their scheme. People that think they're just going to take what they have and run to the hills, are they insulated from big tech? Why should we be concerned as a collective?
I mean, if you can live completely off-grid and and conduct only transactions that are made with cash. Then maybe if you grow all your own food and provide all of your own needs, and then again with the medical field, you know, are you going to grow all of your own herbs and completely self-medicate the time? You know, there is a point at which people need to come into society and interact to see some need met.
What I would see in all of this, though, is that for the people who think that they can just opt out, I'm going to go out here and live off grid and whatever, it's a nice vision, and a lot of people are trying to do that. But what about when the government comes for your kids? What about when the government says it's now mandatory that they be in public education? Because that's part of Orwell's vision, right?
Yeah.
They're going to control the group think, they're going to control the narrative, and we're going to take your kids away from you.
Exactly.
The Revelation is very clear. He causeth all, both small and great, rich and poor, to get plugged into this system. It's not like it's going to be easy to escape with their all-seeing drone eyes everywhere. They're going to track you down. Nowhere to run, nowhere to hide, right?
Right.
It's as simple as the fact that if you don't own your property free and clear, this is not an option for you. If you can't homeschool your children, this is not an option for you. So, for example, big tech, you know, has Google all up in the classroom. Go to Google, our big tech friend, and look up the words Google and classroom and look at how it's taking over the public education system. That's besides the fact that every digital thing we do is done over a phone, over a tablet, over something, and people are being systematically trained to answer the cues of these beeps and dings, and big media is writing this narrative, but big tech is driving it to your home. It dings on your nightstand at night. It dings all day long. And unless you're able to completely, in a financially solvent way, be 100% separate from anything in the state, including making sure your property taxes are paid so they don't take your house in a few years and auction it off. You know, you have to have some kind of connection to the world. So you have these phones, you have these tablets, and it's just ding, think about this, ding, think about this. They're cueing us all day long to keep us all in tune with this homogenized thinking that they're creating. So that is the Orwellian Trinity. It's big media, big tech, and fintech, and none of them really fully can accomplish their agenda without the other two.
Let's also take a look at something else that you wrote about in Zeitgeist 2025, because this is very interesting. The 10 kings in Revelation.
Yeah, the 10 kings in Revelation 17. Okay, so I'm going to read this really quick. It says, "And the 10 horns which thou sawest are 10 kings, which have received no kingdom as yet, but listen to this, receive power as kings 1 hour with the beast. These have one mind and shall give their power and strength unto the beast." So think about this. They don't have tangible kingdoms, and they are for an era, basically giving their strange kind of sameness, their power that operates as one, to the beast system and helps the beast rise to power. Well, in my opinion, these are corporations.
Right.
If we look at these intangible kingdoms that operate with a sameness, they bring the beast to power. And then if you look at what happens in Revelation 18, I've always found this fascinating. You know, you have the harlot of Babylon, and then the harlot is killed. And sometime around the same time, we see the beast system and these 10 kings fall. But how does John describe this in Revelation 18? He makes a list of every industry known to man at that point in time. He's describing a worldwide digital economic system that rises to power around the beast and then falls when the beast falls. And it's such a terrible, terrible global economic crisis that they can't even make a recovery. It says the merchants stand and weep. So what does this look like? It looks like a digital economic system around the beast that brings him to power. And then when it crashes, they all crash. There's no recovery. So to me, this is 10 corporations. Now, think about the Orwellian Trinity. Big media is at 6, big tech is at 5, and fintech is at 3, which is quickly falling under 1. This is a total of 14. And a lot of them are actually joined in their ownership already.
Right.
How many more corporate mergers before they're down to 10?
Consolidating as we speak, right? We're going to have to take a quick break to show you how you can get a copy of the new book, Zeitgeist 2025. And when we come back, we're going to be talking with Josh Peck about how the Essenes looked at 2025 as the potential final era of mankind. We'll be right back.
I have spent a lifetime uncovering secrets buried beneath the sands of time by those who want them to remain concealed in mystery. But I did not expect to discover a series of clues from the future that were suddenly made known, the saga of which will now be revealed.
It is the names of the secret society members, the founding fathers that set America on course to an enigma.
Before and after the presidency of Donald Trump, the United States was, and now is again, on a trajectory to fulfill what famous Freemason Manly P. Hall described as the secret destiny of America.
It is the prophecy on the Great Seal of the United States, a scheme hidden in plain sight by the Founding Fathers for more than 200 years, foretelling the return of a terrifying demonic god who seizes control of Earth in the new order of the ages. The prophecy indicates he will arrive in 2025.
Now, Dr. Horn's research has uncovered an anomaly he never expected to find. Clues 200 years in the making, which unlock the riddle of Zeitgeist 2025. And what the world is not ready to receive. Hidden secrets and forgotten prophecies from Qumran forecasting the year 2025 as the final age of man. How the current U.S. government is tied to America's occult destiny. Why historians and intelligence agencies foresee a totalitarian world government by 2025. How America's capital city is laid out to actuate arrival of Antichrist. Zeitgeist 2025.
Call now and take advantage of SkyWatch TV's biggest giveaway of the summer. The Zeitgeist Summer Exclusive includes Dr. Thomas Horn's eye-opening new book, Zeitgeist 2025, Countdown to the Secret Destiny of America, The Lost Prophecies of Qumran, and The Return of Old Saturn's Reign, along with a never-before-released six-part Zeitgeist 2025 companion DVD, the shocking full-length documentary, The Secret Destiny of America on DVD, the full-length movie, Belly of the Beast, the ancient mystery that holds the secret of Antichrist's resurrection and return, and the entire six-disc Rise 2021 Defender Virtual Conference box set on DVD, a $245 value, now available for your donation of only $35 plus shipping and handling. In the new book, Zeitgeist 2025, you will learn hidden secrets and forgotten prophecies surrounding the year 2025, how the current U.S. government is tied to America's occult destiny, lost prophecies from Qumran forecasting 2025 as the final age of man, how America's capital city is laid out to actuate arrival of Antichrist, and why historians and intelligence agencies foresee a totalitarian world government by 2025. You'll also receive the Zeitgeist Companion DVD. This six-part eye-opening expose on DVD reveals the malevolent Orwellian Trinity converging around the world, seeking to homogenize the freedom to speak and think in order to create nations of assimilated devotees who will embrace Antichrist. And we're just getting started. This must-have collection also includes the breathtaking two-hour documentary, The Secret Destiny of America on DVD, featuring Dr. Thomas Horn as he reveals who the God on America's Great Seal and U.S. $1 bill really is, why 72 pentagrams in the Capitol Dome are used to control the ancient cosmocrators who rule the nations, the coming incarnation of Antichrist, and much, much more. But that's not all. For a very limited time, you'll also receive the complete Rise 2021 Defender Virtual Conference box set on DVD. This six-disc collection is jam-packed with over 26 hours of mind-boggling revelations from world-renowned Bible teachers, archaeologists, and ancient language scholars on the prophetic events unfolding all around the world right now. Featuring unforgettable presentations from Dr. Thomas Horn, Dr. Judd Burton, Bishop Ron Webb, Dr. Aaron Judkins, Pastor Mark Biltz, Colonel David Giamona, Dr. Ken Johnson, and so many more. Plus, for the first time ever, free, the full-length movie Belly of the Beast, the ancient mystery that holds the secret of Antichrist's resurrection and return, on DVD, absolutely free. Sold separately, these items hold a shocking retail value of over $245. Yours now for a donation of only $35 plus shipping and handling while supplies last. So don't miss SkyWatch TV's biggest giveaway of the summer. The Zeitgeist Summer Exclusive. Available now at skywatchtvstore.com. Order now or call 1-844-750-4985.
Welcome back to Skywatch TV. We continue our discussion on the new book, Zeitgeist 2025. And in studio with us today, Josh Peck, who is also a contributing author to the book. And Josh, right before the break, I indicated when we came back, we were going to have you explain how the Essenes actually looked at the year 2025 as the possible final age of man.
Yeah, absolutely. And this is absolutely phenomenal, the time that we're living in and what we're about to enter into. I believe that this is the most prophetic time that human history has ever seen. And we're about to head into that in just a little over 4 years. So the Essenes were a faction of Jewish people around the time of Christ. We're aware of the Pharisees and the Sadducees, but we don't know a whole lot about the Essenes. Most Christians have never heard of them. But they were the keepers of the Dead Sea Scrolls. So what we've been able to piece together from the Dead Sea Scrolls tells us about the Essenes themselves, their culture, and more importantly, their prophecy. Because at that time, the Pharisees were saying the gift of prophecy was done and over with. Mm-hmm. You know, that gift had ceased. Does that sound familiar in our day today?
Right.
But according to the Essenes, the gift of prophecy never ceased, and they were still getting prophecy. So we get that in the Dead Sea Scrolls. They had an amazing prophetic calendar.
They did, and a track record as well.
Yeah, extremely accurate. Another thing that we're told as Christians is that when Jesus came, he took everyone by surprise. No one knew that that was going to be the fulfillment of all the messianic prophecies. Right. That it was going to happen that way. Wrong. The Pharisees and Sadducees didn't know, but the Essenes knew.
I got you.
Yeah, we have the Dead Sea Scrolls that were written at least 200 years before Christ, some of them even longer than that. But they predict that the Messiah would come, would be God incarnate, would die for the sins of man and forgiveness. The only piece that they didn't really have was how Gentiles would be incorporated in the church and all that. So that's laid out in Ephesians 3. So there was that mystery that had yet to be revealed after Christ. But before Christ, that's the kind of Messiah they were looking for. This is why, for some, when you read the Gospels, it's like, man, some of these people, they get saved so easily. You know, it doesn't take them much at all, but then others are really stubborn. And it's because there was this kind of inner faction war between the Pharisees and the Essenes. Mm-hmm. Pharisees had their theology, they had their expectation of the Messiah, which was, you know, he would be a military leader, he would just be human, he would die in a battle and then basically give power over to the Pharisees, but the Essenes had a completely different view. So for hundreds of years, they were battling that out. Jesus comes on the scene, and of course, we find out that the Essenes were correct. Jesus even quotes Dead Sea Scrolls that were not included in the Bible to mm-hmm. John the Baptist when he was in jail. There's just amazing revelations there. But
we've done shows on that. Many predictions with laser precision.
Yes.
So for people that aren't familiar who the Essenes were.
Yeah, so that kind of tells us who they are. But what's amazing is they didn't only predict things in their day, in their age.
They also looked at 2025,
they did. So according to their calendar, they had their own calendar. They said that that was the original solar calendar that God gave to Adam, and the Pharisees were using a paganized lunar calendar that actually Orthodox Jews still use today. But according to the Essenes, the original calendar was laid out all of human history in 7,000 years, and it was split up into ages. So the age that they were living in was called the Age of Torah, and that ended in 75 AD. Each age is 2,000 years. 75 AD was the beginning of our age, actually called in the Dead Sea Scrolls the Age of Grace. They actually knew that. They knew that much about our age to actually call it that.
Wow.
Age of Grace. So that's what we're living in now.
Wow.
They also split up these ages into jubilees, so 50-year segments. The last jubilee of the Age of Torah, that's when everything happened with Jesus. It would have been between the years 25 AD and 75 AD. So you have the whole ministry of Jesus plus the destruction of the temple within that time. In our time, our final jubilee is going to start in 2025 AD and last until 2075 AD. We don't know exactly where the tribulation is going to fall in that because there's a lot of things that have to happen. You could have the tribulation really early on, just like Jesus came early on in the final jubilee of the Age of Torah. Mm-hmm. We could have the same thing, and there could still be decades of things that need to be put in place before the actual start of the thousand-year millennial reign of Christ. So there's lots of different ways that could play out, but there's something special about that last 50 years that we're about to enter into.
And what I love is the fact that this is so ancient and this is so Hebrew. This is not Josh Peck theology,
right,
or Josh Peck timing. This goes back to the very, very days when everybody should be paying attention. It's so funny because we look at what's in the Bible, and Christians get nervous when you start talking about the calendar of the Essenes, and they start thinking, rein it back, talk about what's in the Bible. But what is extra biblical that was important to those people should matter as well.
And the calendar is in the Bible too. I mean, this is why we have supposed discrepancies, like from the Gospel of John and then the other three Gospels in their calendar. And, you know, when's the Sabbath? How does the Passion Week work? When you realize there's actually two different calendars here, there's the Pharisee calendar and the Essene calendar.
Right.
It's in the Bible, and it really makes things make sense.
Yeah, no, that's actually the discrepancy of how Jesus was alive and dead at the same time on Passover.
Exactly.
It has to do with the fact that there was the Judean and the Galilean calendar. So,
exactly.
Yeah,
when Dr. Heiser was here recently, I asked him, did he believe that John the Baptist was an Essene? And he said that it was possible. He certainly knew the Essenes. Well, our mutual friend Ken Johnson, I was on the phone with him a couple of days ago. I asked him the same question. He said not only was he an Essene, he said he was a specific one who had been predicted as a forerunner of the Messiah, because they prophesied one would come who would be the voice crying in the wilderness. That was an Essene prophecy.
Well, it was the whole reason the Essenes even existed. Was they went out to Qumran, to the wilderness, to fulfill that prophecy in Isaiah about preparing a way. What's amazing, too, the Essenes called themselves the Way 200 years before Christ.
Uh-huh.
So when Paul in the book of Acts is saying, you know, we're followers of the Way, who they call a sect and all that, he's not talking about this new thing called Christianity. It was that, but it was a more ancient order of Essenes that called themselves the Way.
Wow.
Even more amazingly, they called Qumran Damascus. Oh. So Paul on the road to Damascus, that might not have been Syria. That might have been Qumran, and there's several reasons why that actually makes more sense.
Yeah, so to me, it's just amazing. You guys have produced a calendar.
Yes.
Later this year, you and Ken, you guys are working together. You have a brand new book. We'll talk about that later on, but we're going to be making that calendar, the Essene calendar, for the first time. We're going to be making that frameable and available to people. So a lot of cool stuff, and they will be shocked. I mean, the list is very long of the stuff that these guys, 200 years before Christ, nailed to literally down to the days and the moments.
Yes.
Uh-huh.
So this tells you why you maybe want to pay attention having to say about what starts in the year 2025. One final thing I asked Ken on the phone. I said, so let me ask you another question. I said, do you believe that the so-called missing years of the youth of Christ, do you believe that Jesus went to Qumran and was being trained by the Essenes? He had a lot of reasons, by the way, for his answer that we'll maybe get into later. He said, oh, he went to Qumran, all right, but he didn't go there to be taught. He went there to teach them.
That's right. That's absolutely right. And so that's a really good point, because some people mistakenly get this idea that Jesus was an Essene. It's not that. There were three main schools of thought at the time. There was Essene, Pharisee, and Sadducee. It would be like today if we have, you know, Charismatic, Catholic, and Baptist, just to pick three.
Right.
Well, when Jesus returns, one of those is going to fit more closely with what Jesus is going to be teaching, right?
Right.
So it's just the same as then. It wasn't that Jesus wasn't Essene. It's just that Essene theology matched more closely with what Jesus came to teach. And it was because the Essenes actually paid attention to Scripture. They weren't putting their own interpretations onto it. They kept up with the gift of prophecy, and they actually took this stuff seriously. So again, it would just be like when Jesus comes back, it's not that he's going to come back and join up and be a Baptist.
Sure.
he's going to come back.
What?
He's going to say what he's going to say, and then those who align with it more closely, that's just how it's going to be. So that's how it was back then as well.
I got to jump in though, guys. We've been talking with Tom about his new book, and I don't want to relitigate all of his previous works dealing with the Apophis asteroid, but that's not what this book is. But he does make some reference to it very lightly as to how it could be a part of a pie being used by the cabal, who are looking at 2025 as the potential opportunity to fully and finally seize power, let's usher ourselves into socialism, etc., and how an asteroid coming upon the Earth could be a part of how the governments of the world say, look, we have an event coming that is bigger than our nationality, our religious groups, our ethnicities. We've got to join together under a one world system. So let me ask you a question. If 2025 to 2075 is the final jubilee of our age. What would we maybe expect to happen? And could this connect with Wormwood / Apophis in 3 minutes?
Yeah, it absolutely it absolutely could, because we know that we have a seven-year tribulation at some point. And if the Essene calendar is correct, then we should expect it within that 50-year period. I don't want to say for sure, because you know, I don't want to set dates. But if Wormwood is actually the Apophis asteroid, NASA has given three possible dates that it could fly by or strike. And it's interesting because all of these dates, for one thing, they all fall in within that 50-year period, that final jubilee. And they all seem to be able to land on in a way that would fit well with the rest of the 7 years if it's in the middle. So in looking at all that, even if it is just a flyby, let's say, well, we saw what happened with coronavirus. Even if it is just a flyby or whatever the real truth of it is, it can be used to manufacture any number of crises. So
yeah,
a lot of people would look at that time period, 2025 and 2075. We know that there's a seven-year tribulation. A lot of them would put it at the end of that jubilee and say, well, we got decades out. Not necessarily, because, again, like I said earlier, at the end of the last age of Torah, Jesus came pretty early in that final jubilee of their age, and there was a lot that had to be fulfilled leading up to the destruction of the temple. We don't know how much time passes between the return of Jesus and the setting up an official beginning of the thousand-year reign. A lot of us tend to think that it just happens instantaneously,
right?
But the nations have to know what the new rules are, how this new age is going to work. You know, that could potentially take time, and there are a lot of prophetic things that could occur between when Jesus actually returns, just like when he came the first time, and the beginning of the next age, just like the beginning of our age that would have occurred in 75 AD. So I suspect, personally, and it's just a guess based on how the last age ended, I suspect that that seven-year tribulation is going to come early in our final jubilee, which, again, starts in 2025 AD.
Joe, let me jump in real quick. I know we're out of time. We're going to go, and I want people to be aware that starting next week, we're going to really begin dissecting over a four-week period. Derek and Sharon Gilbert, other people will be here with us, and we're going to be looking at the secret destiny of America. So it's 2025. Have we now, in this current administration, entered into a period of time where a clock is ticking down toward a year in which these historians, the prophets, the intelligence agencies, in which they are correct that we are going to be facing the arrival of a totalitarian world government beginning in the year 2025. Donald Trump came, stood up, gave his inaugural speech, and said for far too long, talking about those presidents sitting behind him in his inaugural, for far too long it was all about them. I'm taking it away from them, giving it back to you. We're going to empty the swamp. Well, that was happening for 4 years. Well, guess what? They are quickly refilling the swamp now, and they are definitely putting America back on track toward what Manly P. Hall, the famous mystic and Freemason, called the secret destiny of America, and it is absolutely connected, I believe, with the year 2025.
Next week, Dr. Thomas Horn will return to talk about whether or not the Great Seal of the United States holds within it a hidden prophecy, a countdown to the secret destiny of America. You don't want to miss it. For everybody here on panel, I'm Joe Horn. Keep your eyes on the prize, which is Jesus Christ. We'll be back next week.